2017 National English Competition for College Students, Level A, Final. Part 1, Listening Comprehension. Section A. In this section, you will hear 5 short conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. 1. Where is the music video section?
Just a moment, sir. Ah, yes. When you get to the bottom of the stairs, you'll be in the camera section. Turn left and go straight. You'll see the stereos and TVs. Go past the electronic goods, and the CDs and videos are on the right. Actually, we are having a sale on music videos and DVDs this month.
Okay, I'll take a look. Thanks. Left at the bottom of the stairs, past the TVs, CDs on the right.
Right. You can't miss them. 2. Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Great. I just got back from a concert. It was so much fun.
That's cool. What band did you go to see?
It was a co-headlining show between My Chemical Romance and The Used. A newer band called Drive A opened for them. It was pretty amazing. The music was great, and I got some neat souvenirs while I was there.
Oh, yeah?
I got a set list and a couple of pics from one of the guys in Drive A, and they all signed my CD. A couple of the guys from My Chemical Romance signed my ticket, too.
3. Hello. Welcome to the Bank of Chicago. How can I help you?
Yes. I would like to open a checking account if I can, but first I'd like to know what is included with a checking account.
A checking account comes with a free checkbook, and you can use your ATM card anywhere in the world.
What are your interest rates for checking accounts?
The checking account has a rate of 2.4%. And there is a $5,000 minimum deposit.
Are there any fees with this account?
No, there are no fees.
4. Now, Mrs. Jones, if you could just step onto the scales, It seems you've put on quite a bit since last month. Have you been following the diet sheet I gave you?
Yes. Well, most of the time I have. But I do get really hungry late in the evening sometimes, and I just have to have an extra snack before bedtime.
Late snacks, huh? What kind of snacks?
Cookies, usually. And just a small packet, usually.
Right. And what about exercise? Have you been exercising properly?
Well, I wanted to, but the weather's been so bad these past few weeks. 5. Hi, Arthur. Sorry to bother you. I've been having a problem with my computer. I know you're an engineer, so I thought you might be able to help me.
I see. What's the problem?
I have a file that I can't open.
What type of file is it?
It's a Word document I've been working on. I need to finish it by tomorrow.
Were you able to open it before on the computer you're using now? Do you think your computer might have a virus?
Yes. I was working on it last night and everything was fine, but this morning I couldn't open it. I also checked and there weren't any viruses.
Okay, I'm not sure what's wrong. If it's possible, email the file to me and I'll see if I can get it to open. Section B. In this section, you will hear two long conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 1-minute pause. During the pause, read the questions and mark your answers on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. Conversation 1. Listen to the conversation and mark each statement as either true T or false F, according to your listening.
Who doesn't want to live forever? The Longevity Project is an eye-opening book based on one-of-a-kind study, following 1,500 people over 8 decades. This book changes everything we thought about how to live a long, productive life. We are joined now by Dr. Howard Friedman.
Thank you.
This is just remarkable. Howard, first of all, tell us a bit about the study.
Well, this is really a breakthrough study because it's the first scientific study that followed people from when they were children, and that back in 1921, throughout their whole lives, when they went through adolescence, as they went through young adulthood, as they got married, had their own children, went into their careers, aged, to see why some people thrived, lived long, stayed healthy. Other people kind of fell off the healthy path and succumbed and died before their time.
But to have that body of information, is there a best indicator that really shows why people live long?
The best, most consistent predictor was actually conscientiousness. So a conscientious person is someone who is dependable and organized, prudent. They think they had their persistence. When they start something, they stick to it. That, it might sound like he's a boring person, these aren't boring people.
No.
We know if you have those qualities, you tend to have more opportunities. You have opportunities to do really cool, fun stuff.
All right, well, let's have a little true and false here, because that will help us get the message across a little bit more. Carefree folks live longer than worrywarts. True or false?
What do you think?
I think it's a little good to worry.
It is.
So it's false.
Yeah, right. We found, in fact, that you always have to take it easy, don't work so hard, and distress yourself. We felt people didn't work themselves to death. They really worked themselves to life. The people who were committed to their careers, worked hard, stayed involved, and succeeded in their careers actually stayed healthy and lived long. Conversation 2. Listen to the conversation and mark each question as A, B, C, or D according to your listening.
So what propels you to be able to do some of these things, running the distances? You know, a lot of people wouldn't even dream of it.
I think for me, it's that self-exploration, the idea of there's something out there and the desire to see what my body, what my mind, and down to what my spirit can do.
Were you always a runner? I mean, how did this start?
For me, I actually used to hate running. I grew up hunting and fishing in northern Minnesota, and that was where I got connected with the outdoors, and I had got interested in running through Nordic ski racing, and I had to get ready for basically the snow season by doing some running on the ski trails.
You obviously do this competitively. What's the furthest distance you've ever run?
The furthest distance I've run is 165.7 miles in 24 hours.
So tell me how that works. Are you taking breaks, or what are you doing?
So the more time I take breaks, the clock is always going, so the idea is to continue running throughout, and as much as you can, because you only get 24 hours, and the only times I did stop were to go to the bathroom, basically, and even eating is done on the run.
Have you heard about the medical aspects of this? What have you been told?
Well, I think it helps. I'm actually a physical therapist, and so I know a little bit about the body. But you know, is it healthy to go that far in that amount of time? You know, it's hard to say, but the human body was built for endurance. If you look at our ancestors and what they did, I mean, even think of my great-grandparents and what they did for work out in the fields. And I think maybe our perception of what is normal has changed over the years. And I like to always refer to what people used to do.
You talk about exploration, and maybe to some extent exploring what the body can do. But at some point, you made the decision to say, I'm gonna go from someone who didn't like to run to racing in the hardest, presumably, running competitions in the world. Was there a moment when that happened for you and you said, I can actually do this?
I think it was probably after my first 50-miler, after my first ultramarathon. I'd run a marathon and then a month later decided to do this 50-mile race. A buddy of mine, Dusty Olson, said, you've got to try this out. Section C. In this section, you will hear 5 short news items. Each item will be read only once. After each item, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
16.
Volkswagen has pleaded guilty in an American court to 3 criminal charges linked to the diesel emissions scandal. The plea is part of a deal with the U.S. Justice Department. Volkswagen has admitted that between 2009 and 2015, vehicles were fitted with illegal software to disguise high levels of pollution.
U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly traveled to Guatemala for a series of meetings with senior officials there. He met with President Jimmy Morales, Minister of Government Francisco Rivas, Minister of Foreign Affairs Carlos Raul Morales, as well as the Commissioner of National Civil Police, the First Vice Minister for Security, and the Director of Migration. Secretary Kelly met with U.S. Ambassador Todd Robinson and the Deputy Chief of Mission, and he observed the government of Guatemala reception process for the DHS repatriation flights. He also had a working lunch with Department of Homeland Security in-country and regional employees.
18.
Russia has been observing a day of mourning after a military plane crashed on Sunday in which all 92 people on board were killed. Prayers have been said in the country's Orthodox churches and a makeshift shrine has been set up in Moscow outside the headquarters of the Alexandrov Music and Dance Ensemble, which lost many of its members.
Drought-related water and food shortages are posing a risk to many in Namibia, and the U.S. government is providing help. Through the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, the U.S. will purchase 8 water tanker trucks and promote community and school sanitation valued at $1.6 million. Additionally, USAID, with funding from the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, known as PEPFAR, is rolling out $2.2 million for drought assistance activities to help malnourished HIV patients, pregnant and lactating women, orphans, and vulnerable children in food-insecure districts in Namibia with a high HIV burden.
Thirty-six years after his death, Bob Marley is still revered as a national hero in Jamaica and admired by music fans the world over. Now some previously lost recordings of reggae's first global superstar have been uncovered in a London hotel. The restored material features many tracks like Jammin' and No Woman, No Cry. Thirteen master tapes with original live recordings of concerts in Paris and London in the 1970s were found in a basement. They were found by Martin Nichols, a recording engineer at White House Studios in the west of England. James asked him what state the tapes were in when he first saw them.
Well, frankly, they were appalling. I almost didn't have the heart to tell the boys how bad they were because they were obviously so eager to get something off them. They'd obviously been drenched in water at some point.
Section D. In this section, you will hear two short passages. The passages will be read only once. After each passage, there will be a 1-minute pause. During the pause, write the answers on the answer sheet. Listen to the passage. For questions 21 to 25, fill in the blanks with the exact words or phrases you hear.
Dolphins are regarded as the friendliest creatures in the sea, and stories of them helping drowning sailors have been common since Roman times. The more we learn about dolphins, the more we realize that their society is more complex than people previously imagined. They look after other dolphins when they are ill, care for pregnant mothers, and protect the weakest in the community, as we do. Some scientists have suggested that dolphins have a language, but it is much more probable that they communicate with each other without needing words. Could any of these mammals be more intelligent than man? Certainly, the most common argument in favor of man's superiority over them, that we can kill them more easily than they can kill us, is the least satisfactory. On the contrary, the more we discover about these remarkable creatures, the less we appear superior when we destroy them.
Listen to the passage. For questions 26 to 30, complete the notes using no more than 3 words for each blank. Reliability and validity are key concepts in any form of inquiry. Reliability is a measure of consistency. For example, if a clock is sometimes fast and sometimes slow, it is unreliable. If a questionnaire produces different results for the same group of people each time it is used, then the questionnaire is unreliable. Validity is a measure of truth. It is possible for a questionnaire to be highly reliable yet invalid, like a clock which is always 10 minutes slow. In contrast, a clock which is always right provides a valid and reliable measure of time. Similarly, a questionnaire which really measures what it claims to measure is a valid questionnaire. We can assess how valid our questionnaire is by comparing its results with an independent measure. For instance, if we ask people how often they visit their local theater and then check the results against ticket sales, we will know how valid our questionnaire is. However, often independent measures are themselves unreliable and of low validity. Furthermore, in many cases, there are no independent measures. In other words, a true answer so not exist. This is the end of the listening part. Please transfer your answers to the answer sheet.